Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Rhonda.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, everyone, to the darker side of romance. I'm your host, Rhonda Goddell, and this is Michelle Cornwell Jordan with me. I don't know if our guest has showed up, has she?
She is online.
She is here.
Well,
tonight we have Susan Stiltner. She writes different genres. She does write some dark romance, and I'll let her tell her a little bit about herself. And Susan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. My name is Susan Stiltner. I'm from Virginia. I've always been here. I guess I started writing when I was around 13 or so. I really just never thought about having anything published until I met Rhonda.
So can you tell us about, tell us a little bit about what you write, some of your projects that you're working on, and then we'll talk a little bit about the one that's probably going to be published within the next couple of months.
Well, I'm working on a ton of different things. Most of it is paranormal, and then there'll be some magic and spells and things later. I just write a little bit of everything, honestly. I write poems and I wrote children's books.
Okay, and what is, you've got one that you've been working on about, it was The Vampire. What's the title of that one? I can't remember.
You know, I can't either. I put that aside because I didn't
like
the name that it had. So I put that one aside to try to finish this one up.
You need to get back on that one because I really liked what I read of it.
I'll get that one finished.
What's the one? It's the Christmas Past, Tales of Christmas Past.
The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Right, yeah.
It'll turn out to be a love story. Right now, the character's just kind of, it's written in modern times, but she's been having visions and dreams from long ago about a man which she has actually met and just doesn't realize it yet.
And you think that's going to be out when?
I am trying for about the middle of November. I'm getting close.
Okay. I can't wait to read it. Let's see here. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process? Like, do you write early in the mornings? Do you just write whenever you get the opportunity?
It's
late
usually
evening.
Late at night when everybody else is asleep and I'm still wide awake. That's the best time to get writing done for me.
I think
or during
that
the evening.
A lot of writers are like that. They write best late at night.
Mm-hmm.
I think, or I do myself. I write, you know, like you said, when there's no one else awake, everything is so quiet and still, and it's
yeah.
like something is released. It's like you're free or something. So
yeah,
I'm like you.
Yeah,
I like to write late at night.
Yeah, with four kids, when nobody needs me is when they're sleeping. So I don't have to, you know, write a sentence and have it full of mommy, mommy, mommy.
Yeah, it's easier to concentrate when you're not hearing mom in the background 40
times.
Oh,
yeah, it is.
So what inspired you to start writing? Is there any one person or was there an author or what inspired you to start writing to begin with?
When I was younger, I was sick a lot and couldn't really go to school or anything. So I would sit up. I would be awake all night. And I had already read through, you know, everything that I had handy, and I thought, you know, what if I just write my own stories? And that would give me something to do to pass the time, plus it would give me something to read later.
That's an interesting twist. I could see how being home and being bored and reading everything you read, especially if you love to read,
yeah.
how you would... The natural process would be, hey, let me create something of my own.
Yeah.
But that's really astonishing, you know, for a child. But, of course, children are really creative, but it's really impressive.
Thank you.
So do you have anything from then that you might want to pull out and say, hey, let's do something with this? It's got a good concept. There's a good idea. Let's make it a little more grown up. Is there anything that you still have that you might like to tweak and maybe publish one day?
I've lost about everything I had from them, so I would have to start over with all of them.
Now you've got several. I know you've got a couple of things you're working on for a collection with a couple
mm-hmm.
of other authors. Can you tell us about those things? Is there anything you've got that's ready or do you have some ideas? And that's probably going to come out around October, right?
Like I said, most of mine are going to be paranormal. I can't think of any one specific one right now. I'm still looking through them. I've got several scarier tales that would be good for around Halloween and everything. I've just got to go through them and tweak them a little. I actually thought about the fairy tale one that I let you read. That the kind of Snow White type. And I thought about doing one with the Prince and the Pauper type of story, only be the same person.
Like he's a split personality?
Yes.
I remember you telling me about that. I think that would make
mm-hmm.
a really, really cool
yeah.
Story. Yeah, that's one you should bring out and You should write one like that. I think that would be really good for a Halloween type.
Yeah.
So, what has attracted you to or made you want to write the horror and the dark romance type genre?
I think it was probably due to late nights with my sister. Like I said, when I was younger, I was sick a lot. And for about 18 months during that time, I couldn't go to school. And she was a teenager at the time. And my mom worked third shift, so while she was gone all night, me and my older sister would sit and watch scary movies all night long because I didn't have to be anywhere the next day. So I think that's probably what drew me into that side, more the darker side of things.
That's really that's coincidental, because that's kind of how I always liked horror flicks, and I can remember as early as like 6 years old watching horror flicks with my teenage aunts and uncles, because I lived with my grandmother, and I think that's what really pulled me to that genre. But then I discovered Edgar Allan Poe, and that's what made me decide to write that type of that genre. So do you have, are there any authors that have been really inspiring?
I was quite a bit younger. I read a book called Edge of Twilight by Maggie Shane, and that book, it's one of my favorite. I've read that book probably 50 times now, and it's still, to me, that stands out as my favorite book, and I kind of want to write along the lines of Maggie Shane or Anne Rice,
mm-hmm.
another good one that I liked, and I love Poe, anything Poe. So all those, I'm just thinking, you know, they're all the greatest ones in my mind. And I love the stuff that you write, so.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. I think everybody that likes to write horror, everybody that really, really enjoys what they're writing and they're writing horror, I think they would have to say one of their favorites is Poe. Everybody that I've talked to that writes horror, that's one of the ones that is in their list. It's like, yeah, and of course Poe.
Yeah.
He's the master.
Yeah.
So you're writing, I think I know this, but when you write, are you an outliner or a panster? Do you like the outline, or do you just go with the flow?
I switch back and forth. like I get the story straight in my head, but then when I got to write it, I'm just bouncing around.
I found it very difficult.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I don't know what I was going to say. I kind of let the story just write itself. I just let it do what it's going to do.
That's the way I do. I find it very hard to outline. But I've had so many people say, oh, it's so much easier to write the story if you have an outline, but and you know exactly where you're going. But for me, I only have an idea of where to start. And the characters lead me to the finish line, and a lot of times I'm surprised about the ending because I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming. So is that kind of the way it is for you? You're like at the very end, you're like, wow,
that's not
what I expected. Yeah, I think it's more fun to write that way. I mean, I would like to be able to outline just to give me some guidance, you know, because I've heard so many mm-hmm. people say, well, you can't possibly have writer's block if you have it all outlined, you know, and all mapped out. But I'm thinking, well, if you've already got it mapped out, then you've already got it written, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah, I don't like to know the end before it begins.
And before you get there.
Yeah, I'll find out when the characters do.
So did that kind of stay in the back of your head, or the nagging? Because sometimes, most of the time when I'm writing, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and they'll be nagging and nagging, you know, be just feeding me lines, and you just have to get up or, you know, doing something during the day, housework or whatever, you got to stop and write something down because they're constantly back in the back of your mind chattering and telling you about the story.
Yeah. I've got to where I have to take my laptop to work with me, because when I'm sitting in my car on lunch break, I'm just thinking of so many different things, I just have to write it down.
But that's good for future, because that's good. Yeah, that's more stories you can write later.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got this idea. Now, I know you know MD Martin. We all know her as Misty, but she likes to people watch. And I think she may have told you this before, but she likes to people watch and wonder what that person's doing. Why are they like that? Why are they doing that? Wonder what they're like, you know, and she'll,
yeah.
What if a story out of something like that. Do you ever do anything like that? Let people watch and get stories from maybe just an action from that you've witnessed that somebody had, you know, something somebody's done or a conversation or an encounter. Do you ever get any ideas like that?
It happens sometimes during conversations. I'll just, you know, we'll just be having a normal conversation and the whole time my mind is working and thinking, I've got to write this down.
So where do you get inspiration from other than that? For me, it's either a movie or music or books, or it's sometimes I'll have a dream, maybe not a complete dream, but maybe just a portion that I'll use as inspiration or as a starting point for a book. Do you do anything like that? Is there anything in particular or anything really strange, any way you get inspiration or ideas?
Dreams do play a big part in it. A lot of my characters have some of the same, actually, no. So just watching them and listening to them, I'll think of, you know, something that the character should say. Just a little bit different.
So are your characters, I know we don't like to say, oh, they're based on somebody, but subconsciously you know that they are. And are some of your characters, they tend to take on characteristics of usually people that are really close to you, maybe siblings, or does that happen?
Yeah, well, with this book, The Ghost of Christmas Past, my lead character, Isabel, is actually, she's a lot like my daughter. So,
oh, how funny.
I mean, I've used her to kind of go back because, I mean, I know she's my daughter and everything, but I do think she's a really beautiful girl. And so, you know, I've used even her physical characteristics and everything to describe her. So, but just the way she talks and acts, you know, she's kind of naive a little, and I hope she don't hear that. But, there's several characters that come through, people that I know are related to.
I think we all do that, whether we intend to, or even if you're like, no, I'm not going to put any characteristics of anybody in there, and that you can't help but do it because that writing is a part of you, and that comes through anyway. Now on Ghost of Christmas Past, where did the idea originate from?
I was sitting at home one night. It was close to Christmas last year, and I don't know really what brought it on. I just thought, well, that would be a good book just to write something, you know, around Christmas time that's happening to this character. So, honestly, I couldn't tell you where it came from. It just popped out.
I had that happen. You just think, like Birthright, I was just sitting in the car writer lineup with waiting on my youngest daughter. And it's actually the first scene in the book. I just started writing, and that's what formed. And the idea didn't come from anywhere. I don't even know how, you know, it just kind of went from brain to pencil, and for no reason at all. There was no, I know it's weird how that happens. An idea will come from out of the blue. But sometimes those are the best ideas, ones that are unintended.
And at least it's original.
Yeah. So with paranormal, we can get away with a lot because we don't have to follow the rules. Like Stephanie Meyer with the vampires, the glitter and the sunlight. So obviously we're able to break the rules. So
yes.
Do you do a lot of research? I know that with mine, I like to at least research either, like with Ravenshire, the time period, the early 1800s or the late 1800s, and then with the with locations too. Do you research a lot, though we can break the rules with?
I've had to do quite a bit of research. I've never been outside of Virginia, and this one, she's having visions of the early 1900s, and so I've had to research all that and get images. I had to look up, you know, like, did they have cars, kind of were available, you know, and there's a pretty important lamp in the story, and I had to look and see what kind of lamp it would be, like if it was electric or if it was an oil lamp or something. So I've had to research quite a bit with this one just to get it right.
Well, and I know it makes, you have to have, even though we can break the rules, you still have to have that, you still have to make it believable. So you
right.
do have to do some research. And I know you showed me a book the other day that you got, and I just love that because it had the even like sketches of the insides of houses from different time periods, and it was the book about fairies. Was it
mm-hmm.
fairies? Was that all it was?
No, it was a fantasy.
Fantasy book. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even that.
The houses and...
Fun research, though.
Yeah. Well, my thing is old cars. So when I go on to research, you know, what kind of car this person might have had in the early 1900s, then I just get so lost in the pictures of all those cars, and I kind of have to pull myself back to the book.
Well, that's okay, though. You might discover another story.
Yeah.
You know, getting lost like that. So what do you do to unwind? When you're not writing and you're not working and you're not hearing, Mom, what do you do to unwind?
I'm a crafter. And just about anything I see that I like, if I see it in the store or online or whatever, then I'll go to my craft room and try to make it. And it really helps me to unwind just to sit and make something.
I can totally relate. You can get lost. You can get lost doing that as much as writing, because I like to paint and sketch. So I can sit for hours and think it's only been 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but that's the same way it is with writing. To me, I don't feel like writing is a job. It's fun, and you
yeah,
can get lost. But
and
you
look
you
up
can,
at the clock, and it's 1 a.m.
I was like, oh, crap. Like the other
yeah.
night, you said, oh, I went back home and I wrote until a little after 12. And I'm like, that's funny because I did the same thing.
Yeah, the time just flies by when you're writing.
It does. And it really it helps to have people to write with. It gets, you can bounce ideas back and forth with Misty, she's competitive, so she's sitting there, how many words you got? And I'm like, you know, 2,500. Oh, I got 26. How many words you got now? So she's just typing away. She's real quick. But it's good to write with. I think writing groups are very important. And having people you can let beta read your work and get true and honest feedback from, because it really helps.
Yes.
I don't know how I read some of your stuff, but I think your daughter, she reads your stuff too, right? Lindsay reads your stuff?
She does, yeah. It really helped. Up until I met you, she was the only one that had read anything that I wrote. Just because I didn't have enough confidence to show it to anybody else.
So
but she's really critical, so it helps.
That's good, though. That's good. Constructive criticism. So what made you decide to go ahead and take the plunge and go ahead and start publishing?
Well, actually, it was you. I remember Stephen saying one day, hey, I know you like to write and everything. How about you talk to my sister Rhonda because she's a writer? And I said, well, Stephen, nobody's seen my stuff. What if it's junk, you know? And he said, well, she'll tell you if it is. And I said, okay, well, maybe I should let Rhonda see it then. And I just kind of snowballed from there. I think I'm ready for everybody else to see it.
I think the world's missing out. You really need to get it out there because it works really good. And I've talked to Misty about this too before. There are so many people in this area that, in the Appalachians, they're storytellers. There's so many really, really wonderful writers in this area. And since I have been published and traveling with doing book signings and getting out to libraries and mingling with other authors, there are so many wonderful authors in this area, so many creative people. And, of course, if they don't write, they tell stories. The area is great with storytellers, tall tales. But it's so rich with creativity.
Yes.
Well, I know this is your first book coming out, and have you done anything to get the word out about your stories, or how do you think you will? Will you just do Facebook, or do you have any marketing ideas at this point?
Not at this point, no. I thought Facebook would be a good one. I'm on several author swap pages on Facebook. I thought maybe that would help a little just to share it around.
That's a really good way to do it. And something I found that really works is to, once the book is out there, is to do giveaways or contests or do like freebies or two for one or discounted with other authors. Maybe do a promotion together. That really helps because you double your audience. But yeah, Facebook is a great way to go because everybody's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, our time is about up. And Susan, I really want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know it was short notice, but I really, really appreciate it. And I enjoyed talking to you and getting to know a little bit more about the book. And I don't think I've known you for years, but I don't think we've really talked about your inspirations and things like that. So it was really interesting to get to hear these things from you. I feel like I know you much better now. But is there anything you would like to tell aspiring writers, any suggestions or?
Go ahead and write it, and even if, you know, everybody doesn't love it or whatever, put it out there and just get yourself going. Find some motivation and take off with it. Don't wait until it's going too late.
That's good advice. If you want to do it, just do it. Send it to the publishers or self-published. Just get it out there because somebody's going to get a lot of enjoyment. Maybe inspire some
new. Something else, maybe inspire some new people. And
I totally agree because I've read a lot of independent authors that I really, really enjoy, and I'm very happy that they took the the plunge and went ahead and put their work out there because, I love reading. And I love finding new authors. So, yeah, definitely that's really good advice. So how can we find you? Once your book gets out there, how are we going to know?
Well,
you've got a Facebook page, right?
Uh-huh. I didn't hear that. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I'm probably going to make an extra Facebook page, like an author page.
Mm-hmm.
And try to share that around a little. And Twitter, I'm on Twitter now. I don't use it much, but I guess I should start.
Once that gets out, yeah, you definitely need to. So you're on Facebook and Twitter. You don't have a website yet, though, right?
I don't.
Okay, so they can find you on Facebook and Twitter and follow you and keep an eye out for the book. And it's Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to push you until that book gets out. but I would like to thank you again, Susan, for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. I had so much fun chatting with you. And I would like to thank everyone who joined us to listen. And I would like to thank Michelle Cornwall Jordan, because without her, the show would not be. Until next month, good night.